on FM Talk at 102.7.
FM Talk at 1027, FM Talk at 1027. This is Talk You Can't Ignore. 914, Mason and Kalinske, anti-show, radio hosted by a lovable jerk and a street-smart broad who knows sports. We always speak before we think. We don't play by any rules. I ignore all broadcast conventions. I could give a damn.
God bless you.
That's my new slogan. I could give a damn.
That works.
The other one's too long for a...
The other one is so long. It should be work. Mason and Kalinske, I could give a damn. That's the new slogan.
Okay. Or Mason and Kalinske, she's the smart broad who knows about sports.
And I could give a damn.
And I can give a damn. No, but then it sounds like you can give a damn that I'm the smart broad who knows about sports.
I just leave you out of it. That's kind of where I was going.
Oh.
That's my good friend Liz Winstead.
Great. Is this going to be another one of those deals?
No, I think you're terrific. No. I enjoy men.
Are you doing the whole big
my comedy
bashing thing?
I bash men unless it's politicians who are mostly men, so I guess it is.
You don't have your headphones on, do you?
No, do I want them?
Oh, yes, you do.
Do I have to hear?
You'd be incredibly annoyed if you had them.
Yes.
Why? Who's sorry?
No, it's his little theme.
It's the theme song for the Marshalls Comedy Festival.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. That hurts. That is bad.
That's the theme song for the Marshalls Comedy Festival. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's his self-imposed theme.
Hey, you know, when you can combine discount crappy underwear and comedy,
I say celebrate
it for a week.
Liz Winstead is here. She's part of the Marshalls Comedy Festival, which is this week. And by the way, for ticket information, you can call 1-800.
You are killing me at every turn. I can't put the ears on. It's like you're not quite Rush Limbaugh if I don't have these on.
Yeah. Yes. So what's going on there? I hear you're the lady who like did the whole Daily Show thing.
I am. I am the very same Liz Winstead.
Wow.
None other.
Now that's a gigantic thing.
It is a popular show with the kids.
Yeah.
The 18 to 34 year old males apparently love it.
Yeah. Now did you stick around with it or you've moved on? Right.
I've
you've
moved
gone
on
to other stuff.
I have moved on to the Women's Comedy Festival. Which is where I want to stay. All I want to do is comedy festivals now. From here, I'm going to do the. TJ Maxx Toledo Women's Comedy Festival, which is going to be terrific.
What are the odds
There's
of
a
that?
Target Comedy
yeah.
Festival somewhere,
there
I believe.
Is.
What are the odds of this woman
Delhi
naming my hometown?
42nd and 8th. Are you from Toledo?
Yeah.
That is a terrific comedy town.
Yes, it is. It's a great comedy town.
It is.
You need comedy there.
I did comedy there once.
Did you? Giggles?
I think it was like a renovated Burger King.
You know what?
Interstate.
There's a renovated bowling alley that was a comedy club.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
And I stayed at the Motel 6.
Bowling and jokes.
Listening to truckers have sex while I just wanted to ease my pain somehow with crappy beer from the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And now, when you start, when did you start with the traveling comic
with the
routine?
Comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I guess it would be, I started the comedy in like 1983. And then started traveling with the comedy in about 1987.
And what's the life of a traveling woman comedy woman like?
It's very similar to a rock star. You are getting laid by the hottest guys in town every night.
Choice pickings.
You're in 4-star hotels.
Do you have groupies?
My
have, like,
rider
groupies?
Is so long. I can't even tell you. Yeah, crazy.
I just don't want a room facing the highway.
Yeah, if you could just, I know you have a pool. Have you ever used it? There's trees growing in your pool.
I'll tell you something. I once stayed at a hotel on the road, and the rooms were like 1 through 10, and they were all in a row. And the guy at the desk gives me the key, and he says, "You want me to show you how to get there?"
No.
And I looked at him and I said, "Well, it's just 1, 2, 3." I said, "Do people have a problem finding the room?"
Go out and turn left.
You know what?
I'm
scared. Probably do.
I know, and that was what was frightening.
Yeah, it's really good because, you know, the 80s was the comedy boom.
Yeah.
And it was like a nuclear blast. It really was because it just destroyed comedy. And you get these people who you'd go on these one-nighters. I'll never forget. I'm from Minnesota. The North Stars are in the Stanley Cup, and they decide to do a show and put me on stage, which was this makeshift stage at a bar, underneath a dartboard, and then turn off the game. Hey, that's a good idea. Why don't you think of something else? Great. That's good. Let's cancel Christmas and have 3 hats performing at Macy's.
I mean, yeah, it's just like the biggest bumblers who were involved.
Yeah, and thieves. you know, there's these Cretan money-grubbing pigs.
Well, I know the guy, I mean, I knew the guy that ran the one in Toledo, and I mean, he was really...
What was his name, Eddie?
No, Alan.
Alan.
Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I know exactly who he is.
And
he's
he
the
was,
Al Goldstein
he was a dirtbag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He
was a true dirtbag.
I think he paid me in like fives or something. Like, I think he was running, making book or something just to like pay the ad. I mean, it was really weird.
I think I worked there. Was it like in a mall?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what a shock. But there was a broom, I think, in Toledo that was in a mall and
right.
in a hotel.
It was the, yes.
It was like in walking.
It was
like
Knights Inn or something.
Like right. The hotel was in like the parking lot
correct.
Of the
exactly
comedy club.
The club.
It was
yeah.
between.
Oh,
the,
I worked there. It was horrible.
It was between the Orange Julius. And the and the Spencer Gifts.
Oh.
That's where it was located.
I
in
would
the
rather
mall.
Do comedy at Spencer Gifts.
Oh, absolutely. I would rather be a
poop.
Spencer's Gift.
Right.
So it's that bad, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And now stand-up comedy, if you go to the middle of the country, is it still happening? I mean, are there still clubs? Are there still good places to play?
I don't know. I think there's three or four that lived, but...
The circuit really didn't survive.
No, it got too expansive, you know? It just got all these one-nighters, blah, blah, blah. And it just went away, you know, all these greedy pigs. You know, it was just like the breweries. I mean, truly.
Yeah.
You know?
So what killed stand-up comedy? Was it stand-up comedy in the middle of the country? Because obviously, TV.
Yeah, too much. Too much.
You know, once you're at home with your fat ass watching TV and your remote and you see somebody on TV and you go, I'm funnier than that, it's over. It means that you've just watered down the field so much that they would just needed bodies to be on TV. I mean, I used to do TV gigs just to make money. Like, I didn't even care that I was on TV anymore.
I didn't even, like, work out my set.
I want the $900.
I didn't even work. I didn't even know what I was going to do until I got to the studio.
Same here.
Because it was TV and you thought that was not as...
Well, because of some of the shows that they had you on were just such crap.
You would just go to the X and go, why should I care if I'm working with Johnny Hackenstock? You know, what is the point of even being on here? It's like... Just give me my $900 so I can somehow try to get my insurance.
Medical insurance, yeah.
It was so sad.
What a life. So was TV was that down the ladder?
Every Channel had a comedy series, I think. I mean, like, everybody had some half-hour comedy show. And it was so... And people would be wearing wedding dresses in their act. I mean, like, anything to, like, have an act.
Yeah, it was like the Gong Show.
It really was the Gong Show.
And look, Sue wound up in morning radio. Where,
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's comedians, I know.
It's the exact same thing.
Morning.
That was my gift all these years.
Exact same thing. Hey, we're gonna turn you into one of our cookies. We're going to use the cookie cutter
and
try to make you sound like everybody else.
And I'm wearing a wedding dress.
I know.
That's right.
You keep waiting. Someday Ken will pop the question.
How
someday.
Is Ken?
Ken is great.
God bless Ken. Ken is the omnipotent boyfriend.
He certainly is.
He's just been around forever. How's Ken? Good. Excellent. Sure, he loves that we're asking about him on the radio.
Oh, no, he doesn't care.
No,
he doesn't live here. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Oh, he doesn't
hear this.
No.
He doesn't hear this.
Now, yesterday I asked Adrian Tolsch, and I don't think I really got an answer, but was there somebody in comedy, was there a woman in comedy that you looked at and said, oh, yeah, I can do that?
Get off?
Yeah.
No, I looked at the Pope and said, I should do this. That's what I did. I looked at Reagan and said, he's elected. I'm going to do comedy.
But for a women's comedy fest, there's nothing really gender specific about it. It's not like this is, you know, like so-and-so kicked down the door and then we all came running in.
No, there really isn't.
No, I mean, you know, when I first started doing stand-up, Elaine Boozler was really making headway. You know, she was pretty well known. And even like someone like Carol Leifer, I mean, she had started maybe around the same time as me, but she moved up the ladder very quickly. So
because there wasn't very many women.
There weren't that many women. So she was one woman who was working a lot around the city. And there was actually a woman named Nancy Parker who, I don't know if she still does.
I think she's still doing
stand-up. She was an amazing impressionist, and she was really, really popular in New York when I first started. I mean, I used to go see her because I did impressions when I first started. I was like, oh,
you
God,
did?
I want to be her.
You know? Yeah, she did impressions.
Well, that was before I met
that.
You.
Oh, my God, that's a nice little piece of information.
There
but
you
no,
go.
There wasn't. You know, that's like this whole oxygen network. Like, I can't figure out, like,
who's
why.
That for?
Yeah, well, and it's just like, I could never say this is what all women think are funny because I, like, did a, like, The Daily Show skewed really low with women, and it was, like, my sensibility. So I can't tell you what women think are funny or like or whatever. And for someone to have the hubris to go, you know what? This is what women want and need.
Yeah, I know, it's so presumptuous.
Wow, it really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's really
because
arrogant.
We're all it's like saying we are all of one mind and voice, and that's the very thing we're avoiding.
It is ridiculous. Well, you know what? It's ridiculous. I was in a meeting with our big boss, and, you know, he said, we're talking about who this show appeals to, and he said, I would think it probably appeals, he said, I think it would probably appeal to older women. And I'm thinking,
where'd you get that from?
He just so grabbed that, trying to like.
Could anybody think that what we do would appeal? I mean, there may be older women out there.
Right.
But I can't imagine.
Well, what's an older woman these days?
What is, I mean, yeah, what is older?
Me?
Yeah, I know, me too. That's why I'm asking. You know, such tentativeness.
Yeah, you're definitely, I mean, we're all out of the WB demo, so I don't know what older
women.
Well,
you know what, I'm sort of proud of that.
I am too.
I feel very proud.
I grew up.
Yeah, we're Felicity free.
Yes. Well, you know what, though? We're supposed to, like, once and again or whatever, and that drives me crazy. These, like, self-reflective 40-year-olds. It's like, could you just please go to the grocery store without having some kind of, like, personal episode? Bizarre.
Without doing a monologue?
Right. I don't know how I'm feeling about this grapes. I'm like, do I have it in my house? How is this going to affect me sleeping with this guy that's also divorced? I don't know what cereal I should buy. It's a divorced woman.
Well, she's in total turmoil.
She is.
She really is in total turmoil.
Absolutely divorced.
Well, you know what? Nobody in the world that would see now. When I see that, if I actually were to meet her, I would think you are the most annoying. I couldn't deal
with
you.
That's why he has to have sex with all the time.
For 10
years. Shut her up. I'll tell you something. She's in total turmoil because she's having great sex at 40-something years old for the first time in a long time. So she's just out of her mind.
So you mean this whole not having sex thing for me, if I ever start having good sex again, I'm going to be a wreck?
You might.
Yes, you'll fall.
You're just going to be thinking about it all the time.
You know what?
You'll be totally obsessed with it.
Camera or not, Liz, you will be doing monologues. You'll be talking to someone about yourself in the third person.
And you'll be in black and white.
I hope so. And hopefully a little skewed off to the center.
The camera will be shaky.
Yeah.
You'll be like a left third of the frame.
Yeah, I want the All Therapy channel. To watch other people's therapy sessions. That's what they should have.
I think that's Lifetime, isn't it?
Well, you know, remember years ago they had the Loud family?
Oh, yeah.
And they followed that family's
way
and they were in therapy together?
That was great.
That was really great.
That was great. I want more of that. Others' pain.
To me, I don't know. To me, funny is funny. Interesting is interesting. I have no idea what, you know, what appeals to what. And, you know, we talk a lot of sports here. Sue knows sports. A lot of women know sports. But we talk about it at, you know, on an incredibly superficial level. Nobody's, you know, they're not going to make a trade based on anything we say here on the
based on
the show.
Cute.
Well,
you know, we're not experts. I mean, people call up and, like, they'll catch us and things that we don't know. And it's like, gotcha. You know, it's like,
gotcha.
Who cares? You know, we just,
yeah, like, you don't deserve to talk about it unless you know every detail.
It was 63.
It would be no politicians if that was the case.
Yeah, and people get really angry. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're all passionate about sports.
Right, you love the sports.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
Yeah. So when you put the, how did the Daily Show, you know, hold that, because we're gonna get a break, and then we'll come back,
products.
And we'll do, yeah, we're going to sell some products.
We'll talk about other things. Don't, it's okay.
Yeah. And there's going to be a monologue. You're going to do a monologue about your
about
angst,
about just kind of my cycle, I think. That's what women want to hear. It's the Women's Comedy Festival. I want to talk about my fluids, and then the makeup women at Macy's.
Okay. Our cycle's now together because now that you entered the studio.
Oh, because you're here, right.
Now we're one.
And I have a flow that'll change lives.
Oh, God.
What? I don't know
you're
what that means. What does that mean? That's kind of weird.
I don't know.
It's kind of gross in a way.
It's a little gross, and I'm a little frightened. Because now that I'm in the cycle with you, that means I'm going to have it.
And I'm pointing at you.
Oh, man. Sell something.
Anything.
All right. We've got Movie Max moment coming up, and also three-question pop quiz for a pair of Knicks tickets coming up here. Knicks tickets are tough to come by. No, you cannot, Liz. You may not win that.
I've never won a radio thing, ever.
Yeah, I know.
Well, too bad. You know us. You can't win.
You're a friend of the hosts. 928, Mason and Klinsky Anti-Show, FM Talk at 102.7.